brothers, 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 brothers. Brothers. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Yo, move.
I was going to say, for a second, I was like, that sounds just the worst, because Discord, which we are using to record, will cancel out really high-pitched noise. So when you're like doing the beginning, it was really only picking the low parts. So it was like, ooh.
It'll play great.
It'll sound fantastic, and I'm sure many people know exactly where we're going with it. Joining me as always, the Duel Master himself. Wait, that's the wrong card game. The King of Games. The King of Kings. Does that mean, is Triple H really good at Yu-Gi-Oh?
Triple H is the King of Kings. He is the game, so he must be the King of Games, which is the translation of Yu-Gi-Oh.
Exactly, and that's what we're here for today. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. And today, we kind of decided to do a different type of episode, an appreciation episode, just a kind of looking back and respecting the creation of someone who recently passed away, and that is Mr. Kazuki Takahashi, who created Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Being a gigantic portion of my childhood and a big portion of Gus's, where would we even place that? I was going to say, like, adolescent into adulthood. Like, you were, like, teenager when you really, like, started getting back into it, and then...
I play more Yu-Gi-Oh! Now than I ever have and probably ever will.
Yeah, and you know, just a week ago, Kazuki Takahashi was found at sea, and he had passed away in what appeared to be a diving accident, and I honestly have not seen much on it since. But it was an interesting moment for me in that, like, I was very young when Yu-Gi-Oh! Became very popular. It is almost, you know, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound stupid because Pokemon was my Pokemon, but I was going to say, this was almost like my Pokemon. Like, Pokemon was really, really, really big when you were young. Like, and it was big when I was young too, but I mean, it had just got started when you were young. And I feel like Yu-Gi-Oh! Was just kicking off in popularity when I was young. Like, it was really just starting up in the card game and the anime, and you know, it was very popular amongst the kids in my classes. Similar to how, you know, Pokemon was popular, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't the peak, you know, moment like it was for you when you were a kid. And because of that, because I grew up with Yu-Gi-Oh!, but I also, again, it was like my Pokemon. Like, you consistently say, like, with Pokemon, you never got past the 150, the original 150. It's like the new Pokemon you don't care about. Similar to me, like, I never went past the original anime. I never really cared for any of the card game past GX. Yet, I still have such a soft spot for it. What's interesting, though, is that we were talking about it before the show. I never tied a creator to the show. I was never like, or to Yu-Gi-Oh! In general, the card game, the manga, whatever it may be. I never tied it to a person. You know, like, I look at Dragon Ball Z and I'm like, Akira Toriyama. And, you know, I look at all these other shows or, you know, movies, video games, whatever. And I usually am able to tie a creator. But for some reason, I was like, Pegasus created Yu-Gi-Oh! I didn't need to know anything more than that.
Of course Pegasus created the card game, and then, you know,
of course he made the card game Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, of course he did. and the Egyptian pharaohs created the duel monsters and such. It's been covered in the anime.
Yeah, that's historical. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting. that was kind of like a realization to me. I'm like, oh wow, like that's very sad. Like the creator of something that held a really big, significant part of my early childhood, like first, second grade, had passed away, and it was very surprising to see and to learn about how it went down. But we kind of figured that today we would take today's episode to kind of do a, you know, appreciation episode of his creation of Yu-Gi-Oh! And what it meant to us, our memories with it, etc., etc. But before we get into that, I would like to quickly tell you what this show is about. So if you're new to this show, we are the Brothers Movie Factory. Every week we watch a film, we then take the pod to discuss the film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. Then we submit the movie to the factory, and that's where we take the movie we just watched and we have a little fun with it. Maybe we pretend that the movie's being remade in the modern era with a modern director and a modern actor and actresses. Maybe we take an animated film and imagine it live, baby, live. Or maybe we even do something like today with appreciation posts and talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! And having a little duel. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into our appreciation episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! And it's time to duel indeed. So why don't we start with you there, Gus? I've been talking a little while here. What got you into Yu-Gi-Oh! What was the first thing that brought about this urge to play Yu-Gi-Oh!
Every time Yu-Gi-Oh! Has come into my life, which it's come into my life, I would say, on three separate occasions, you are to blame, overall. So, back in the day, you were really into Yu-Gi-Oh! And I was not. I was a little older at the time, and I had gone through the Pokemon era. And
you know, that Yu-Gi-Oh! Game for babies, I'll go play Magic the Gathering.
Exactly.
And yes, I'm like, that magic game for nerds?
Yeah. The real man's card game over here.
It's Duel Masters.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play with my Bakugan.
So I had no interest in Yu-Gi-Oh! But, however, after school, we would go to our grandmothers who lived close by and wait for our mother to be done or what have you. Or we would often find our way back there, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Would be on TV. And so I had watched a lot of the show with you. Also, it was like there was nothing else to do. So I'm like, I'll watch this baby food. But it was a good show. And but I never touched those cards. It wasn't until I was in high school. I was a junior in high school, and it was that summer, and you were real into the cards, and you were begging to teach me how to play because you wanted someone to play with. We grew up in the middle of the woods, and the closest friend we had, he wasn't touching Yu-Gi-Oh! Because he was a Magic the Gathering kind of fella. At this point,
preferred Pokemon.
Yeah,
Pokemon cards. No one plays Pokemon card game.
No one does. And you were begging for a long time. And I'm not talking just like one afternoon. It was a week. You would ask a couple times a day. Kind of like you do now with things. Like,
you play that game yet?
Yeah, like that. And then one day, one summer day, I gave in and I let you teach me how to play Yu-Gi-Oh! And I don't remember if this was the one that made me like, okay, I'm going to I'm like in it now. You had a Winged Dragon of Ra? Some with infinite attack, right?
Winged Dragon of Ra, yes. Has infinite attack and infinite defense, but there's something to that card that I forget.
Yeah, it's something like how many cards you sacrifice or something. I can't remember. You have to take life points to use it too. I can't remember how it worked, but you attacked me with it. It was going to wipe me out, but I had I think it was the one that reverberates the attack, so it makes you attack yourself.
Not sort of revealing light.
Oh, no, no, no. It was a draining shield I had. Mm. I flipped over a draining shield, which makes me gain life points. So I like, gained infinite life. And you got so mad you gave up, and I was like, all
right. Sounds about right.
I think I like this game. So that summer, I had a summer job. I spent $500-$600 on Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I was buying packs. It was like the 5D era, which stands for Five Dragons. And I was just collecting those up. I had a zombie deck that I was building up. And yeah, I was real into Yu-Gi-Oh that summer.
I was going to say, was that the summer that when we were at the beach, we played quite a bit?
It must have been.
Do you remember that? That's when I was thinking I like really got you in. But I think I recall the night because I remember I gave you all my cards. I don't know if you remember it this way, but I remember giving you all my cards and saying, basically, make a deck. And you were like, I'm going to make a spell and trap deck. And you literally like had like five monsters in your deck. And your strongest monster, as I recall, was a Summon Skull, which is a 5-star monster, I believe. And which means it, you only have to sacrifice one to get it on the field. And if I recall, it was Summon Skull and 2,500 attack. Like, it's not a strong card by any sense of the means. But that was your strongest card. And then you just had, like, Dark Holes and, you know, Dark Holes and Trap Doors and all sorts of random bullshit to mess up my deck. Because you could cancel everything with trap cards and magic cards and beef up cards and all sorts of random shit. I think that's how that went, but I do remember going to the beach, and two really big things happened at the beach that summer, in that there was a card store on the boardwalk where we would go to the beach, and you got an ancient Gears deck.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been before the summer that you were talking about. The reason I know this is because the Ancient Gears deck was from GX, Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. Because you had a zombie deck as well.
Yeah.
You had a zombie deck and an Ancient Gear deck.
Yeah, true.
And those are both before that summer that you spent. One of the reasons why that summer that you were working at your job and you spent a lot of cards is because the owners of the restaurant, son, was very into Yu-Gi-Oh! As well. And he wanted, like, he was basically hyping you up into buying cards, buying more cards. We're very impressionable people. And always looking for the next ex Mrs. Money. I believe you bought the Ancient Gear deck, or the zombie deck. I think you might have bought both.
It was the Ancient Gear deck. Yeah, I forgot about this memory.
Yeah, and I already had my cards, I believe. Yeah. And we just played.
Yeah, you talked me into getting this Ancient Gear deck so we could play together.
Yeah, and we just played Yu-Gi-Oh! I think Mother has a picture somewhere, one of those picture books, of us sitting underneath the umbrella playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Like a bunch of dweebs at the beach. But also that summer, we found our way. There was which I deeply miss it because it was like, what's interesting is some of the best memories of the beach, growing up had nothing to do with the actual like sand and ocean. It was mostly walking the boardwalk and going to all these different stores at the beach we would go to. And they had like a video game movie store. And I remember it was on the bottom underneath like all the shelves, in some box was the complete first season of Yu-Gi-Oh! The anime. And I don't think you had truly watched it yet. Like, you had, yeah, sure, I had it on in the background and whatnot. I had watched all through Duel City or Battle City, but you had never really watched it. And we ended up getting it, whether it was, you know, joined our money, or you bought it, or I bought it, or mom bought it for us, whatever it might be.
I bought it because it was only like $5.
Yeah, which is crazy because it's a great collection.
We got that and the Martin or Steve Martin Pink Panther.
Yeah. But we ended up, yeah, watching that. And that was like the summer of Yu-Gi-Oh! That was like a big portion. I remember doing both those things. Buying the anime, you got to watch it for the first time, and then getting those decks and playing at the beach and really hooking you back into it once again.
I think this was the same summer, though, that I'm talking about.
Maybe you got back from the beach.
Mm-hmm. I know you're saying it was a GX deck, but, I mean, so what? Maybe it was a GX deck and they were selling it, and I bought it. I'm pretty sure that was the case. But, yeah, I remember... That's one of my big memories of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is getting that that collection, which I have at the house here currently. And, you know, even though I think Yu-Gi-Oh! Streaming somewhere, I don't know. Yeah, it is. And I was streaming it on Netflix at one point, and I ended up stopped streaming it. And I grabbed those DVDs and I popped them in just for the nostalgia of it. And I ended up watching that whole... not Duel City. What is the first arc? Duelist Kingdom.
Duelist Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that whole arc, and I think it's actually a really, really good, you know, anime. But yeah, having those DVDs and watching that show, I was sucked into the show. And I stand by this. Pegasus is, he's in my top five favorite villains of any genre of all time.
Nice. He's fantastic. We'll talk about that here in a bit, because that's actually a later memory of like rewatching the anime, and I do want to touch base on the anime a little more, but I did want to kind of talk about my youth and not understanding the card game at all when I got into it, because one of the reasons, as you mentioned, we would go to our grandma's after school, and it was on WB Kids, and I would watch this and Pokemon quite a bit. And, you know, a lot of times on WB Kids, it was never, you know, this show, it makes any semblance of sense, because a lot of times they wouldn't be showing episodes in order. They would just be showing episodes as they come and whatever it may be. And so I just would see all these different episodes out of order. I had two VHSs. I know I had one VHS. It was the battle between Yugi Moto and Mako Tsunami, which is just the greatest name. But yeah, I had that fight between Yugi and Mako Tsunami, and then I had a Kaiba fight. I think it was Ghoul Kaiba, like the when he's like a zombie, it's like fake Kaiba. Shadow Kaiba. But I remember that having those. Anyone who's watched the first season, the Duelist Kingdom season of anime, knows that they do not follow the rules at all. One of my favorite lines, I've watched some Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, and one of the best things is, like, literally the first episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged is Kaiba, like, summons all three of his blue eyes right away without sacrificing shit. And Yugi's like, that's against the rules. He's like, screw the rules, I have money. I'm like, that's how this show works, is they just don't give a shit. So one of my earliest memories of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is literally I was going to go to my friend Flag's house, and the night before, I don't know why, I don't know, it's one of those where it's like, this might be a real memory, it might not be. I was probably first grade, so 7, 8 years old. I don't remember exactly, but every now and again. Rare occasions. When growing up in the house we grew up in, it was kind of a interesting layout, but we had a family room and a living room, which sounds weird, but there's a family room and a living room. There were two separate rooms, and not always in the family room did we have a TV, but every now and again we had a TV in the family room and in the living room. And I think, if I recall, on this night, for whatever reason, I think we were having a fire. You, mother, father, were in the living room, or family room, rather, with the fireplace and everything, watching a movie. And I was getting my things ready, because I was going over to my friend Flag's house the next night. And we were gonna have a Yu-Gi-Oh! Battle. We were going to have a Yu-Gi-Oh! Battle. And I don't know why, again, first
please,
grade.
Please. A duel.
A duel. Yes. When I was a kid, it was a battle. but if I recall correctly... I knew that my friend Flack had a crush on the girl I liked, and so I was like, I'm going to show him a lesson. I'm going to send him to the fucking Shadow Realm and put him in a card like Yugi's grandpa. But I remember laying out all my cards, because as a lad, and this was for very long, like a long period of my youth, I very much so wanted to believe in, like, magic and, like, fantastical things and all those things. And so I very much wanted to believe in the heart of the cards. I wanted that to be, like, a real thing. Like, these cards in front of me, I can, like, talk to them. They understand. They're going to help me win tomorrow. And I remember setting out all my cards and talking to them, like being like, we're gonna win tomorrow, right? Like, what cards are gonna help me out here? Like, I remember, like, a psychopath talking to my Yu-Gi-Oh cards. But then
someone say that's sweet. Someone say that is psychotic.
Mother and father in the next room looking at me and going like, shit. I remember that. And then the next day, I remember playing against them, and this is the only thing I remember this battle, but I forget what the card is specifically. I can describe it to you. The picture on the card, it's a trap card. It has a wall of ice and some wolves in front of it. And I think all that card does is raises all your monster's defense by 200 defense points. I think that's all it does. But in the anime, my Valentine uses it, and it makes just a giant ice wall that Joey can't break through, because there's a giant ice wall on the battlefield, because it's very literal in the anime. And I remember, because we didn't know how to play the game, I remember telling them, like, oh no, you can't attack me until you defeat this ice wall, until you find a way to remove this trap card, because there's a big ice wall. And I remember we fought about it, and we ultimately ended up quitting and not playing because of that ice wall and, like, not knowing the rules of the game at all, but having all these cards, as kids do. But those are, like, my earliest memories of Yu-Gi-Oh!
I tried typing in trap card wall of ice with wolves. Couldn't find anything, but I did find this card called Mirror Wall, which looks like a bunch of ice. And it's not the greatest. It says each of your opponent's monsters that conduct an attack while this card is face up on the field has its attack halved as long as this card remains on the field. So that can be pretty good. However, during each of the standby phases, you have to pay 2,000 life points each turn or destroy this card. So
Mirror Perhaps. Wall. When I typed in mirror wall, it popped up with walls of mirrors. Don't they know I want to know about Yu-Gi-Oh?
Hasn't your phone been listening to your conversation?
Yeah. I don't know if this is mirror wall or not. Let's see. I'm just going to type in my Valentine's Yu-Gi-Oh deck.
Nice. Good luck with all them harpy ladies.
Yeah, man. That's an early memory. Another early memory is getting Joey Wheeler's deck for Easter one year. I had Joey's deck and I had Kaiba's deck. I remember Joey's was Easter specifically because I just remember seeing the red eyes, black dragon. When I
threw all that candy and eggs.
Yeah, and seeing that, but also I remember, like, the time wizard in it and the baby dragon, and
say it right,
baby dragon, time wizard. What if he was from Pittsburgh?
Hey Yugs.
That's Yugs.
Yeah, help my twin sister out. Or not my twin sister, but my sister's blind in that. She's surgery.
Why did it turn into a Matthew McConaughey doing a Pittsburgh? God help my sister.
God help my sister. Right.
But
I'll tell you what, another memory of mine. Fast forward many years, and recent years, in fact, for Christmas, you got me... what is it? Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist Link Evolution on the Switch.
And that was unethical and dangerous.
It turned out to be so. It took me a while to get to it, but fuck, I popped in that game and damn near put 50 hours into it straight. Played it, beat it, run from it. Destiny arrives all the same. And I made this deck. It was a fusion deck, and I felt powerful and unstoppable. And you go through the shows. It's very, very like low budget game, but you go through
low budget game, shows. But it makes you feel fantastic.
Yeah. There's like no animation, no voice acting, the same music throughout, and it's just like cutouts of the characters talking like with just text. But yeah, you play Yu-Gi-Oh, damn it, and you go through each show, Yu-Gi-Oh GX. What is it? Zexal or something.
Yeah, and 5Ds.
5Ds, and then there's another one. I can't remember. Link something, like Evolution. But anyway. I tore through that game to the point where I literally beat it. Like, there was nothing more to do, storyline-wise. And but I'd stopped. And that was... When did I beat that game? Last year?
Last year, 2 years ago. Yeah,
it was last year. I was playing it 2 years ago, then I picked it back up last year, and I was playing it some more. And then, even more recently, you had mentioned to me about Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel. You're like, it's a free game. It's a pay-to-play tech. Or not pay-to-play, but pay-to,
it's, maybe. It's literally any... It's for some reason, I found this, that people, they look at CCGs, computer card games, and there's not the same intrinsic value to a TCG, because in a TCG, a trading card game, you have physical cards. You're buying physical cards. A CCG is the same thing. You're buying digital cards. But for some reason, there's this disconnect where it's like, I don't want to do that. I want, you know, like, I feel like I'm being ripped off if I buy digital cards.
You are, because what happens when that game shuts down forever? Literally. All that money.
Literally.
Yeah. So... I cranked it on, tried it out, and, there's a story mode that you can do for free, and, I was doing that, getting points, customizing I had, like, a dragon starter deck, but I, like, evolved the dragon deck. I'm trying to make it that fusion deck that I had in Legacy of the Duelist for the Switch, but with these dragon monsters, too. And, I was like building up this deck, and then I got the balls. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go play against some people online. I'm gonna see how I do. And I got in my first duel and I won. I'm like, okay, it's not that bad. And I got my next duel and I lost. And I lose a lot, right? I lose a lot online. Well, I looked today. I have over 70 hours into that game, and I just started it like, I don't know, a month ago. Which is unusual for me. Now, granted, I play it, during work hours, perhaps.
Never.
Never. That was a joke. But, I was, like, constantly having it on. And I've told you many times, I gotta find something else. Like, there's other games to play, but this is so pick up and play and, semi-mindless, other than the strategy. There's just nothing like that currently for me that I like want to play. So even when I'm like, I'm done playing, I keep fucking playing it. And it was today that I finally found the game that took me away from Master Duel or Duel Masters, whatever it's called.
Persona 4.
Yeah. I popped it in today on my Switch and started playing. It took me away from that Master Duel business. I started playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist Link Evolution. Again, I started over.
You idiot! Can't you do anything right?
Playing Yu-Gi-Oh! But not against people online. Because it was so frustrating. I can lose. I can take a loss. That's fine. Sometimes I get into duels and these people are so overpowered, or their decks are just so advanced. I'm old school. I'm like a like a Neanderthal level Yu-Gi-Oh player. I like their OG style of playing. But now there's bullshit like synchro summons, XYZ summons, pendulum summons, link summons. That's all that shit's too much for me. And it's usually those people who are like very proficient at that style are just like, they just mow me over because their decks are designed to just get your best cards out there within your first turn almost. And yeah, I can't keep up. But I can lose gracefully sometimes, you know. It's when it's my turn, I see my cards, I'm like, all right, this one, this one, this one, end my turn. At max, I'll take a minute, maybe two, for my turn. Their turn, I have sat before for like 8 minutes while they're still going, and I end up surrendering because I'm like, I haven't touched my, like, I haven't done anything in like almost 10 minutes. It's stupid. And it gets me so mad. So
that's what they want.
I had to get away from it. So here I am.
Playing more Yu-Gi-Oh.
Playing more Yu-Gi-Oh. But you were asking me, like, you know, it was a big part of your childhood and big part of your, and I was like, adulthood.
Yeah.
I play it now more than I ever did.
I mean,
now more than I ever did.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, like, what games did I have of it growing up? And I really only ever had two games growing up. But there was a game that I recently just bought, and it was a bit of a mistake. But I saw it at a Goodwill, and we used to see it at a video rental store near us all the time. It's called Yu-Gi-Oh! And the Falsebound Kingdom. It's a GameCube game. And we rented it once, and it was incredibly difficult to play. Because it was like, I don't know, the controls were weird. Something was weird about it. I forget really the gameplay mechanic of it all. But I bought it, and the reason it was a mistake was because I saw it, and I just grabbed it and bought it, because I was like, oh, GameCube game, Yu-Gi-Oh! Game that I used to have, I'll buy it. And then I got home and opened it up, and it was the most scratched disc I've ever seen in my life. Like, it looked like someone, like, tried to, like, clean it up with toothpaste and left the toothpaste on it. Like, that's kind of what it looked like.
Where did you get this from?
Goodwill.
Oh.
Did I not send you a picture of it? I swore I sent you a picture of it.
I remember this now that I think of it. I think you showed me in person. But,
Well, the Goodwill logo went right over the, for the people at home, I'm showing Gus on camera the condition of the case. So yeah, they put like these stickers and they're like super damaged, like the plastic's damaged. Even like over here, there was a yard sale sticker and someone like dug so hard they ripped into the plastic. What's cool is I know where this game was bought because the EB Games receipt is still in it. So it came from EB Games.
Hey, that's that. I remember seeing that when you showed it to me, but that's the thing to keep.
Memba video game manuals. The manual's in really good condition. But man, this disc, and I did try to resurface it, but I to no avail. You probably won't be able to see it, but see how it's like cloudy?
Yeah,
that's just the entire disc is cloudy. There's no shine to it at all.
Like, yeah, someone did try to fix that up, didn't they?
Yeah, but the game that I did play quite a bit growing up that did not help me learn to play the game was actually the game on the back of this manual, Yu-Gi-Oh! And the Sacred Cards. It was a Game Boy Advance game. It came with three cards if you bought the game, one of those being the perfect Great Moth or whatever. You remember Weevil's big bug that he could summon?
I think it's Perfectly Great Moth. I'll let you know here in a second. I'm holding it somewhere in my hand. Perfectly Ultimate Great Moth.
What a card.
Which is going to be the name of my firstborn.
Yeah. Perfectly Ultimate Killer Moth. I had Yu-Gi-Oh! And the Sacred Cards. What is neat about that, though, I was just looking it up here. That game, I remembered it just from... I had it growing up. I don't know what happened to it. I do know I lost it. and then it was re-released in a double pack with another Yu-Gi-Oh game. Like, it was like this game and another Yu-Gi-Oh game. And you remember we used to get those, mother used to get those, like, they were like the shittiest pieces of paper, but they were like Amazon before it was Amazon. It was like a little catalog of like things to buy, and you could like buy things for your school or your, like your class or whatever like that. You remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
And every now and again, there were games in that.
Scholastic. Scholastic?
Yeah. Okay. Every now and again, there were games in that. Like, I know that's like, that's how I got Zoo Tycoon for the DS. But they had a double pack of this game and something else, like another Yu-Gi-Oh game. And I got this game, and I remember playing it when I was a little older and understanding it a little more. What's interesting about this game is that the rules are different in this game. It plays out the story of Battle, Duelist City or whatever, the second season two.
Yeah. This made myself laugh. Like, the rules are different in this game. I was like, there are no rules.
You just summon what you want. But no, yeah, they're based on the manga and the prototype rules of the game, like the original rules. What's interesting, though, is, like, it adds the Pokemon weakness system. Like, a fire-type monster will be bested by a water monster. A light monster beats a dark monster. So, like, for example, in that game, I remember there was this one like person I couldn't beat because I had like this dark deck, and I looked up how to beat him on like mom's computer at school, and it was like, oh, go to this person, trade for this like angel card. This angel had like 800 attack, but because it was a light card, it would automatically defeat dark cards. So there'd be, like, a dark card with, like, 1,500 attack, and my, like, 800 attack angel could beat it. It was a weird setup to the game.
Yeah.
But I remember playing it quite a bit. And then it was later on down the road, I had my DS, and I wanted to get a game that had... I wanted to get a game that had a little more weight to it. I wanted a game that had, like... 3D renditions. Like, I was like ready to play some Yu-Gi-Oh! It was in 2005. Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. Oh, I'm sorry, 2006. Came out in 2005 in Japan, but it wasn't until January 10th, 2006 that it came out in North America. But Yu-Gi-Oh! GX Duel Academy. Another game that I did not know how to play in terms of I didn't understand how to advance the story. But what was cool about that game is it was kind of like on a day-night schedule, and you were on the island where the Duel Academy was in GX, and there were, like, people would pop up in different locations, like different, duelists, and you could just go and challenge them and fight them. And then by beating them, you would gain money, and then you could just go to the store and buy packs and unopen packs and build your deck from the packs, and it was like playing real Yu-Gi-Oh, and I used to play that quite a bit.
Isn't that what the GX, Yu-Gi-Oh GX was about? It was like a school. It was like Yu-Gi-Oh Academia.
Yeah, it would teach you how to play. Yeah, it would teach you how to play Yu-Gi-Oh. But I think I just lied. It was not Yu-Gi-Oh GX Duel Academy. It was a game called Yu-Gi-Oh GX Spirit Caller. Or Spirits. Yeah, Spirit Caller, I think. Let me double check that. The reason I think that is because I recall you could get, like, Spirit Caller. You could get, like, Yu-Gi-Oh monsters to basically, like, follow you around. And they were, like, yeah, it was because Karibo was, like, your first one you could get. But, I mean, real quick, go type in Yu-Gi-Oh GX Spirit Caller and tell me that, like, this game, like, graphics, Yu-Gi-Oh GX Spirit Caller graphics. The actual, like, graphics and gameplay and, like, the 3D models for the DS were really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not bad.
And, like,
I would say it's actually very good.
Yeah, for the DS, they were, like, 3D models. And they're really legit. And, like, I just remember playing that game quite a bit. Also, Alexis from Yu-Gi-Oh! GX anime crush.
Oh, shit. Now, Tenchi, I would say, what's her name? Who has the harpies?
My Valentine.
My Valentine. I was like, Faye Valentine.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Here you
go. She was my anime crush. Probably first anime crush. Let me ask you, did you ever dabble in the manga? We are honoring, in a sense, the creator of said manga, which was the birth of Yu-Gi-Oh! Did you ever dabble in any of that?
I read one once, but never really got into it too much. I did have, I think, volume one of Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. Now, where that went, I have no clue. But the anime was about as far as I went, and I have been very tempted, especially recently, like within the last week. I've been watching a lot of Hunter x Hunter, and I've been also considering, I've been watching Hunter x Hunter and Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. Now I'm almost done with Ned's, so I'm going to need a second show soon, something that I've seen many times, because I want to focus on Hunter x Hunter, but I've seen Yu-Gi-Oh! A billion times, like, but it's been a very long time. So I've been wanting to go back. I never dabbled in the manga, but freshman year of college, I've mentioned it on here, it was a very difficult time for me because, sorry, I got distracted because I've noticed that, I don't know why, but we've been getting quite a few flies in the house from time to time, and I've gotten rid of them, but I keep finding, like, flies in weird spots. And I literally noticed something in my keyboard. Inside my keyboard, there's a fly under my one key. I'm like, you
pushed the button and crushed them.
No, I was like, how? How'd you get in there? Now, my keyboard's luckily customizable, so I can just pop the key off real easy. In college, I've mentioned before, a very difficult-ish time in terms of, like, figuring out what I was doing and this, that, and the other. And ultimately, I remember, I don't know why you were at the time, but you were watching Yu-Gi-Oh! And I remember he said a line that still makes me chuckle to this day. You said you were watching it, and it made you laugh. You started laughing, and you couldn't really figure out why. You popped yourself real good. And it was ultimately the reason you popped yourself was because you realized that the show was about cards.
Damn it, it was.
Yeah, do you remember this memory?
Like, yeah, I do. It was that time I mentioned. I was watching on Netflix, but alas, I have the DVD, so I just watched the DVDs. But I was laughing so hard because, yes, it's like, they're like screaming and crying and like, we are best friends. And they have the little hand symbol, the triangle that they have to prove that they're friends, and it's all
no matter what, let the game begin.
It's all over these cards, but
hey, they go to the Shadow Realm.
By the end of the show, or at least the Duelist Kingdom arc, you do get the feels because Yugi needs to win this tournament so he can free his grandfather, but Joey, his best friend, needs to win this tournament because he needs this money so he can pay for his sister's eye surgery. And there's all these stakes. Kaiba needs to win so he can save his brother and prove he's like the best duelist ever also. And Pegasus is just a cuck who he just
wants to be the best. Unbeatable.
Yeah, he's just unbeatable. Because of his millennium eye.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at, though, is you were watching it at that time, and I was just looking for things to pass my time, because I went, as I've said on here, I went into college not wanting to make friends, and just get in and get out, so I spent a lot of time being a loner and watching a lot of anime, and that's kind of where my love for anime bloomed, but, which is weird, like, I wish I would have had my video game addiction back then, because I had a lot of time to watch or play video games. But,
play Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, I wish. I got into Magic that year, but, Magic the Gathering, but, what's it called? I did watch that first season of Yu-Gi-Oh! Again, and loved it. I don't know why, but I always like. I always feel like I really want to watch Duelist, or the city. Is it Battle City? Why do I want to call it Duel City? It's something City, the second season. But that dungeon dice monsters always throws me off.
Hell yeah.
I recall really, really enjoying it. Just going back through and watching the show again. You say, you're like, oh, there's all these stakes. But, and you know, the show has a lot of, it does a good job at, it's cartoonish and the over the top as anime gets. And, but it is, I mean, you could say it's a kid's anime. I mean, it really is.
I would say that. I was going to say something like that. It's a good, like, young person
anime. I think it's more adult than Pokemon.
Oh, I think Pokemon is an awful show.
Yeah, it is. I've rewatched that in college as well, and I got very far in. I was like, every episode's the same.
The same, and none of them are good, except for Bye Bye Butterfree.
Hey, man, that episode with, the psychic Sabrina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a creepy episode, when she's just, like, punishing her dad. Like, turned her parents into dolls.
That's my kind of gal.
Yeah. But, I think that the show's really good. But, like, it stuck with me. Like I said, like, you got Weevil Underwood, who's, like, a bug expert. Rex, what's his last name?
Do you remember what it is? 'Cause I do.
Rex,
Think of
another dinosaur.
Think of another dinosaur.
Rex Dactyl.
No.
Rex, not Saurus. Rex Raptor.
Rex Raptor.
Rex Raptor. That motherfucker. They're all wrestling names. Mako Tsunami. My Valentine. Who's the Keith guy? Is it Keith?
Keith
Dangerous. Keith America.
I want to say Keith Lee, but that's a wrestler. Keith, fuck.
Try and remember.
Keith Yu-Gi-Oh. Bandit Keith.
Bandit Keith. Bandit that's Keith. Bad.
That's badass.
He didn't even have a first name.
He did. It was Bandit.
Yeah. Oh my god.
According to the manga, his name is Keith Howard.
What about Para and Docs?
Are those the dice guys?
Those are like the twins when they have to do like the labyrinth battle.
Yes.
There's like the ghouls, I forget their names. Like Shadow Kaiba. There's like I said, Mako Tsunami, and there's just a lot of memorable characters.
Yeah. Bonus points if you remember Kaiba's younger brother.
I almost said Kuribo. But it's not Kariba. It's not Bakura, because Bakura is their friend that turns into Merrick. It is... Oh, man, it starts with a K. Doesn't it?
No, but a K is very prominent in it.
It's not Bakura. It's...
It kind of feels like that sound.
Yeah.
How the Bakura... the. Is so prominent. Same with this.
Yeah,
it's Mokuba.
Mokuba, what a little loser.
Bonus points if you can name Yugi's grandfather.
Yugi, Mr. Moto.
I didn't know this. Solomon.
I love that. The reason Kaiba goes and like does him dirty is because he wants that third blue eyes. Because that's the most powerful card. That blue eyes. That's why it was a simpler time. You can't even tell me that like Yugi would stand a chance against like a 5D duelist.
No, not with the bullshit he has now.
It's like, I summon my Kuribo, and he's like, all right, I synchro summon this.
Just destroys you. I dueled this guy. It is a version of a blue eyes white dragon, but
how hard do you feel when you say I dueled this guy and you mean you played cards against him?
I mean, I'm saying that with a full erection. So I dueled this.
That's not what I meant, but okay.
And he had this card, and it's horseshit. So all you have to do, can't be special summoned. It can only be summoned by revealing a Blue Eyes White Dragon in your hand. So he had a card that allowed you to search your deck for a Blue Eyes White Dragon to put in your hand. And then he just showed it, and then he was able to put this special Blue Eyes out on the field. It's the same deal. It has like 3,000 attack, 2,500 defense, or something like that. But it has the ability to destroy one card on the field every turn. So his turn and my turn. I'm like, that's bullshit. So if I had like a Sword of Revealing Light where they couldn't attack for three turns, destroy that and then just kill my card, because it's 3,000 attack, it's pretty high. But yeah, it was like that's just a bullshit card.
One of my favorite cards that I never owned, besides Slither the Sky Dragon, is Satellite Cannon. You ever run into that card?
I don't know.
It's just a satellite cannon. I'll show you on camera right here. It's a satellite cannon.
I've not ran into that. Big ass satellite
it's
cannon.
It's just a satellite cannon. But it's a 5-star monster. It's got 0 attack, 0 defense. But its effect is it can't be destroyed by battle with a level 7 or lower monster. So you have to have 8 stars or above to beat it. And every end phase, at the end of your end phase, so your personal end phase, it gains 1,000 attack. And when it attacks, it returns to 0. So it just builds and builds and builds and builds. And I used to use this in that DS game. And I had a combo where I had a monster that would draw your attack. So no matter what, it would take the attack for me. And I would just charge this thing up until I could basically had enough to like wipe them out. Like, either I would, like, kill all their monsters and then hit them, or if they had a card in attack position, I would just blast over them, hit all their life points. It was a really cool card.
Yeah, that sounds like a bastard of a card.
Yeah, can't be destroyed by anything unless you have an 8 or above.
I've come across people who have this card, and it's broken. It's a broken card. Cannot be destroyed by battle or card effects. And you take no damage from any battle involving this card. And it has 0 attack, 0 defense. So it does nothing, but it's out there and you can't destroy it. You can't destroy it. Because it's unaffected by anything. And I've come across it a couple times. As a true loser.
Duelist. Like
and duelist. As we're talking, I am playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel. Like I said, I would never play again. And I had my turn. I laid down, some Fire Knight, a Sword of Revealing Light. I have these Solomon Wishes cards, which allow me to get 500 life for every card I draw. On his first turn, he had summoned three 3,000 attack monsters. Three of them. On his first turn with this XYZ summon bullshit.
And you say, well, I'd best be getting to work.
Yeah. I best just quit. There's no point on continuing this duel.
That's why you weren't supposed to play that game anymore.
I know. But, you know, we're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! So
got you in the dueling mood.
I was talking about dueling that guy with a full erection, so I'm like, I might as well
test my strength.
I might as well put my money where my penis is.
Hey,
test my strength.
Okay.
Speaking of all these phallic things, did anything get your rocks as hard as when that Yu-Gi-Oh theme would start?
Oh,
that
man.
Original OG theme.
So good.
Your little 8-year-old rocks. Indeed. Nothing got hard
like that theme song was great. Something that I find myself doing every now and again out of the blue, like a sound I make, it makes no sense. And I'm hoping that it'll record fine. Cause you know, I don't know if it will or not, the sound will come through or not, but it was the transition from commercial one. It was like, That one would always get me real, real good. I was like, yeah, let's go. But yeah, no, I mean, even my friends, like, they're not anime watchers or anything by that, any stretch, but they'll quote the, like, it's time to duel. But we used to say, like, battle. But, yeah, no, I mean, hell, Yu-Gi-Oh! Has a very strong place in the heart of the cards. And, you know, I definitely think I'll be going back through and watching it once again here soon. You know, enjoying it once more, enjoying the battles. You know, we spoiler alert to those of you who've never watched the anime, you mentioned, you know, the reasons they all had to win. Does it ever bother you that Yugi didn't tell Joey that he was like, I'll just give you the money if I win. How about you just let me win, because I can beat Pegasus? Does that ever bother you?
But if I told my friend Joey that, then he wouldn't have learned to be a better duelist and a better friend.
I guess. Imagine if Yugi had Exodia throughout all that.
I was gonna say, like, episode one, the Exodia, and you never get to see it again.
I was gonna say Exodia is not even like that crazy of a card when you really get down to it. But when you actually do think about it, you're like, all right, 40 cards in a competition deck. And five of those are cards that if you get them in your hand, you automatically win. Like,
yeah.
That actually is really good.
I've played against someone on this Master Duel game, and they beat me with an Exodia. On their first turn.
I did that in a game of that Yu-Gi-Oh! Spirit Caller game. I had Exodia. I finally, like, unlocked enough packs. That game was before fucking microtransactions, so you could just, you know, had all the cards in the game, no questions asked.
Yeah.
And I had Exodia, and yeah, now I remember wiping them out.
We even did a like an open mic skit where we played two nerds, and we had Yu-Gi-Oh! We had like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel. Like, it was basically just like war. Like, oh, you can't beat this, or you can't beat that. And it's like, oh, what about my Obelisk the Tormentor? And then you're like, well, I got Exodia. I'm like, Exodia! Remember that?
That's how it goes, though. Yeah, I do. And that is how it goes in the show. I mean, the show is meme-worthy in many ways. And you know, the we talked about, you know, the something, but there is a lot to the show. A lot to the lore of the show that's really neat too, that you have to, you know, respect the creator of it for. The idea of like these millennium items that, you know, give you certain powers, like the millennium puzzle allows you to like connect with Yami, who is like the former pharaoh of Egypt, who's like the world's greatest master of cards. The Millennium Eye that lets you like see your opponent's hand, and you know it makes sense though. It seems stupid when you do think about it. You're like, oh, it's about cards, but when the lore is explained that like these are actually games that were played by the ancient pharaohs, and it was played with real monsters, and the cards were more or less just symbols of the monsters, or like they'd summon them from the shadow realm and like bring them, and they were real monsters and they were really fighting for their lives, and that game was just converted into a modern version. It actually starts to make sense. It starts to be like, okay, yeah, it's that all checks out. And it is pretty cool. I forget, what's Bakura have? Is it the Millennium Necklace?
Yeah. I don't know. Is it called the necklace?
I don't remember. I just remember he rips out Pegasus's eye.
He gets it all by the end. He gets the necklace, the rod, the Millennium Rod, the Millennium Eye.
Yeah, because he becomes Merrick. And, yeah, I just remember, like, that moment. Like, oh, the battle on top of the tower, and it's like, you have...
No, it's on top of the blimp.
Yeah, and you have Obelisk and Scyther and Winged Dragon and Raw, and it's like, Jesus, this game's too intense. But no, yeah,
there's a movie too.
Yeah,
Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie.
I've only seen that too.
Like once. I want to rewatch that.
Blue Eyes Shining Dragon, and Pegasus is a good guy in that.
Yeah, That I've said this before, but I've always liked things in movies and shows where, like, someone who's, like, a big bad, they end up turning good by the end of it. I don't know why that stuff always...
I forget if the movie they explained that, like, Pegasus wasn't, like, bad. It was more the Millennium Eye. Yeah, made him bad.
He had, he was like a backstory.
Yeah, he was, like, an archaeologist, and he had a wife who was beautiful, like you. But he had, like, a wife, and something happened to her. And yeah, no, I mean, I truly think that the story that is told is really good. And it adds, you know, a lot of cool layers to a card game. You know, Magic the Gathering has its books and backstories and different things like that. But, like, Yu-Gi-Oh!, I think, just from nostalgia, actually has really, really cool things. And if you've never watched it, maybe give it a try. It is, like I said, for kids. I'm pretty sure it was WB Kids that it was playing on. So, but it is, I think, from, like, if you just sit back and enjoy it, it's worth checking out.
Do you think you laid back and checked it out? That doesn't make any sense from what I'm about to say, but do you think you could beat me in a duel?
Perhaps right now, if I believe in the heart of the cards.
Do you want to talk to these cards first?
Maybe. But yeah, you ready to move on to our specialty factory this week?
Indeed. Yugi boy.
So at this point in the show, this is where we usually take the film we just watched and we have a little fun with it. Imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Maybe imagine an animated film live, baby live. But today, because we were kind of doing a appreciation episode for Kazuki Takahashi and his creation of Yu-Gi-Oh!, we decided that we would maybe play a little game of Yu-Gi-Oh! War. So Gus over there on the opposite end of the computer has... Yu-Gi-Oh! Decks, two Yu-Gi-Oh! Decks, and he's going to draw a card from each deck. Which deck am I getting? Am I getting the bug deck or the dinosaur deck?
Well, that's where the mythical coin comes into play.
Okay. The Millennium Coin.
The Millennium Coin is flipped. If it's heads, Ben gets to pick what he wants, dinosaurs or bugs, and, you know, if it's tails, I get to pick. So here we go. Are you Rex Raptor or Weevil? Let's find out. It is tails. I'm gonna go with the dinosaurs because I feel like they're stronger.
Good. I wanted Weevil because he was a little slime ball, so he always found a way to win.
You might get that perfectly great maw.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm just gonna draw and say what it is, and if it's if it beats the other card, then it beats the other card. So Ben, you have. Now that is a spell card, and I got...
Shit.
Well, that's a spell
this
card.
This is already good.
Okay, well, I got a...
It's best two out of three.
Yeah, I got an Urabi, which is a dinosaur.
A dinosaur?
And it has attack of 1,500. I'm just going to draw until you get a monster here. Holy shit. It's like I made this deck, bunch of spell and trap cards.
You mana locked me.
Aha, you got a winged cleaver, which only has 700 attack.
Shit, Weevil.
I won. Let's see. Oh, you're definitely losing this next one. Do you want to go attack or defense?
Best of five.
Attack or defense for you?
Defense.
Okay, so you went in defense mode. Card face down, defense mode. I drew until I got a two-headed King Rex, which has 1,600 attack.
Two-headed King Rex Raptor?
Yeah, and if I attacked your defense position card, it was a Cocoon of Evolution, which has 2,000 attack.
That's how I get Killer Moth on the field.
Yeah, it is. That's how you beat me there.
So next card wins?
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, let's see. That. Okay, you got... Well, shit. Well, shit for you. You got an alien section, an Allen section. It has 9.
I think I remember that card. Is it like a praying mantis looking fuck?
It is.
Yeah.
And I got a super ancient dino beast, which has 2007.
Isn't that the T-Rex thing that has like a laser beam attached to its head?
It is shooting a big old beam out its mouth. I don't know. And you know how fitting that I defeated you in Yu-Gi-Oh, and I'm playing Yu-Gi-Oh Master Duel as we speak, and I just fucking crushed this kid online.
There you go. You ruined his night. but that is going to do it for us here with our Yu-Gi-Oh! Appreciation episode. A little different than the norm here, but we figured we should pay homage to our creator of something that we both very much so love or hold dear in the old nostalgia vibes. And then before we get going, just real quick for the 20 of you that are here still, I did want to ask you, Gus, are we going to start releasing some factory filler?
Factory filler, indeed. What could that be? Well, guess by the title.
Yeah, basically, we figure we're trying to stay true to the two releases, new releases a month. And so we figured that in between, we've done over 100 episodes here, maybe some of you are stopping in late, and maybe some of you aren't. But even you know, Gus and I, we record this show. I was just listening to the episode 22 today. And laughing at some of the things that went down in that episode. So we decided that we might start re-releasing old episodes on the in-betweens as factory filler. So maybe it's like, you know, next week we release, you know, episode 19 for you to revisit. More or less just filler episodes. Of old episodes that we've recorded in the past that are either fitting to the, you know, the time period or just simply to fill a slot. That look forward to those, checking those out again, revisiting old episodes
What is that random episode 19 that you said?
Let's find out.
Oh, I got it here.
Oh, I don't know. We did 7 at 22, so 3 weeks before that. I don't think 7 was necessarily theme-based, though. Dracula. I don't know.
Nah, it was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
How about? That was one of those that we did. That was a daytime recording, and I came over to your house and woke you up for that one.
I need to listen to this episode because it says we discuss this classic adventure, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Blood, sweat, and tears, literally, in this episode.
I probably said something like, I want Nick Cage as Indiana Jones. And you're like, fuck, that's perfect. And you start crying. with that being said, as a show, we hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audio Boom. That's our primary site. That's where we post you first, and then subsequently get shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We're at The Bros Movie Pod. We'll be posting occasionally, you know, what we're going to be watching, links to the show, clips of the show, memes Gus makes, things of that nature. And that you can also find us over on Facebook.
Hey, go to Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory. You'll find us there. I like to make memes of what we're watching each and every week and include links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audio Boom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until the next time, brothers. No?
Very good.
Okay.